Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's up and welcome to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, presented by Bet Online. My name is Sam Dracula. I'm a Charlotte Hornets YouTuber and podcaster, and it's a good time to be a Hornets fan. A very good time to be a Hornets fan. This team, last 10 games, 8-2. They are a fifth seed in the Eastern Conference as of right now. I'm recording this Saturday morning. On the 27th, so we'll see. The Hornets play the Rockets later tonight. We'll see how that goes. Should be an easy win. Rockets are really bad. They're a really bad team, but it would be a very Hornets thing to lose to the Rockets. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not going to let that negativity into my brain. Hoping for the best, you know? But there's a lot to be excited about. Terry Rozier is back playing the way we know he can play. PJ Washington is back involved after his injury. We lost Mason Plumlee. So that sucks. Well, you know, one man in, one man out type of thing with the injured list. We'll see how he fares in the next few weeks or next few games. Excuse me. I don't think it's that serious, his injury. We'll see. Like it's a calf injury. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But a lot to be excited about. Kelly Oubre shooting the lights out. Cody Martin doing a madness. Jalen McDaniels stepping up in a big way. The rookie scoring. We're going to talk about all of that in this episode. Before we get into that, I want to say shout out to Devontae Graham hitting a game-winning bucket against the Utah Jazz last night. Love to see it. Very happy for him. Warms my heart this holiday season. You know what else warms my heart? Bet Online for sponsoring this podcast. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this year. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, all one word, to receive your bonus. You know, at BetOnline, you can get involved with football, pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Shout out to BetOnline. All right, listen, this Hornets team is doing a madness, and I'm so here for it. The schedule has softened up for this team after a very strong and tough beginning to the year. Things are opening up. Things are falling in the Hornets' favor with the favorable matchup against the Timberwolves team. That's not bad. You know, Karl Anthony Towns had a great game against the Hornets, as expected. That Timberwolves squad, Malik Beasley, they have Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell. Like, they have some really strong players on that team. And that franchise seems to be going in the right direction finally. But, you know, the Hornets blew them out. Things you love to see. You know, they had a favorable matchup against the Magic. They had the return game against the Wizards, which is a game I was very much interested in because the Hornets are coming off a loss. And you thought you look at that and think, all right, the Wizards were trying to take revenge after their loss three games prior, right? The previous week. It's a quick return game. And the Hornets took both those games against a Wizards team. You know, they were overachieving at the beginning of the year with the number one seed. Right now, what are they at now? They're a four seed right above the Hornets. You know, I think that's more realistic for them, given the roster, you know, and given how strong the Nets are being a one seed right now. that was a good test for this Hornets squad. Because you know the Wizards were going to come after him. And they did. And the Hornets outmatched them. And outmanned them. And got us very solid win on the road. Another key right there. But yeah, they lost to the Hawks, which is fair play. The Hawks team is really, really good. And then before that, they beat the Pacers, which is a favorable matchup. And, you know, things you love to see. Sabonis remains a monster. Miles Turner, I know there's a demand for a trade. I know Hornets fans want a new center in town. I'm not a Miles Turner guy. I'm out of Miles Turner after seeing him Friday and also seeing him at the beginning of the season. I'm just not. He doesn't do it for me. I know he can bring a lot to the table, but I think I'm cool on him. And at the very least, I wouldn't give up PJ for him. You know, there's a few guys I would consider giving up PJ for. Miles Turner is not one of them. But, you know, speaking of PJ, let's start with PJ. All right. PJ Washington. How many games did he miss? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 games? No, 10 games. I cannot count. PJ Washington missed 10 games after getting injured in that Warriors game. We got his left arm kind of like hooked in another player, hyperextended his left elbow. And then over those last few weeks, seen reports about him, you know, warming up pregame, seeing specialists and all that. And we finally got to see him back on the court in Orlando. He only played 6 minutes, very limited time. So it was just good to see him out there, you know, just getting his lungs and his legs back underneath him in an NBA game. After the Magic game, the Hornets played the Timberwolves last night. Mason Plumlee was out with a calf injury. So PJ goes into the starting five, which is a lot, I would say. He played 24 minutes last night. I wouldn't have expected that at all this early for him. But he played so well. He played very well. So you got to keep him out there. He looked like he never missed any time at all. Like I mentioned, 24 minutes played. He took 12 shots, made half of them, 6 of 12 from the field, hit 5 threes, 6 boards, and an assist. For me, the definitive kind of moment for PJ last night was, you know, he got caught defending Towns, which is not easy. PJ is undermanned and undersized when it comes. He's not undermanned. He's undersized when it comes to defending guys like Karl Anthony Towns. Towns is a hyper skilled big, right? And when he's in the paint, he's very tall and very long. It's gonna be a tough day for a guy who's 6'8", right? Like PJ is. And so Towns, you know, backs him down, is what it is. PJ did what he could to stop him, didn't work. And then PJ goes back the other and hits a three, right? And the next position hits another three. I'll allow it. I'll accept the undersized, the mismatches in the post if you come back in the other end and make up for it with a three pointer, you know? But PJ being back in the mix is so. The timing is incredible with Mason going out, first off. But when those boys are back, those guys, along with Nick Richards getting like the bottom of the rotation minutes, the front court is looking better. You know, Miles has been playing some center this year as well. It's been effective. Like this team can really cause some mismatch issues when they do like their all 6'7" lineup where everyone on the floor is like 6'7", 6'8". They can do some interesting things, but I don't know how sustainable that is. It's a nice option to go to, but I wouldn't rely on it on a regular basis because you can't play every team that way. You're going to come up against teams where that's not going to work and not having a 7-footer to turn to like Mason Plumlee is an issue. So hopefully Mason comes back in and we have more options at our disposal to turn to when things get tough, right? Speaking of tough, Terry Rozier, my man. Okay. Lately, right? Lately, Terry hasn't been looking like Terry. And he would tell you that. The last 3 games, I would say, Terry came back to life. Like became the Terry we know and fell in love with when he came here against the Wizards game. He put up 32 points on 19 shots. He was doing everything he wanted out there. he was defying the laws of physics and gravity with some dribble moves. Terry was playing with so much confidence And, you know, it was a joy to see. I don't tweet that often. And I had to tweet that Rozier is back. And it continued on against the Magic. 27 points in that game. Sorry, let me move my mouse here. Six steals, which is a career high for him, which is outrageous. Five assists, three rebounds. Again, 27 points off 22 shots. He shot 50% from the floor that game, hit three threes, 30% overall. That previous game, by the way, against the Wizards, he hit eight threes. It's crazy. And then the run continues into that Minnesota game. You know, the volume wasn't there. So like those previous two games, 19 shots, 22 shots against the Timberwolves, nine shot attempts. But that was a game where everyone got involved. I was going to soften it by putting a qualifier in there. No, it wasn't the kind of everybody got involved in that game. So you didn't need guys like Terry taking a bunch of shots. And he made most of his shots. 6 of 9 on the evening, hit perfect from the distance, 3 for 3 from the 3-point line, and then working in with 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And, you know, that's a solid 15-point night for Terry Rozier. Just super economical. On just a little under, you know, 28 minutes, just under 30 minutes on the evening for him. And when you look at like the run this team is on the last 10 games, let me pull this up. This team is scoring points last 10 games, right? They are 5th in total points scored. When it comes to percentages, they're 9th. They're 46, like when I saw percentages, shooting percentages from the field goal percentage, they are 9th in the league the last 10 games. And then from a defensive point of view, this is why, you know, when you're 8-2, you're going to have stats like this, right? From a defensive rating point of view, the Suns are killing it, right? They're top of the league. They're on a 10-game win streak, so that's how you get wins. The Suns, Warriors, Clippers, Pacers, Celtics, Hornets. Right? Hornets are 6th in the league in defensive rating the last 10 games. The turnaround has been immaculate, and that's how you win games. Not to oversimplify things, but scoring a lot of points and stopping your opponent from scoring points is how you win games. And it's such a it's oversimplified, I know, and super obvious, I know. But when you have this team struggle with defense last season and the beginning parts of this season, You gotta relish. You gotta soak in these moments, because team defense is how this team is gonna survive and maintain this. If they're gonna maintain this run, they're gonna have to do it through defense. I have no doubt about the offensive abilities the squad has, because you know I was worried at one point when they lost Devontae and Malik. I was like, that's a lot of firepower. But with Miles stepping up, Kelly Oubre, when he's on, bruh, that dude is on. Cody Martin stepping up in a big way, Jalen McDaniels, those guys are making up for the volume. The shots that were gone from, like the shot attempts, the usage that is gone from the team from this offseason, these guys have stepped up to fill in those gaps. And those guys offer more defensively than Devontae and Malik. So I'm going to say this a lot. I've been saying this a lot. It sucks that this Hornets team lost Malik Monk for nothing. But overall, it's been a huge positive as far as roster building and squad building. And this team is amazing. I'm so here for this. I know I sound like a complete homer, but it is what it is. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. Neither should you. LaMelo, by the way, I just want to talk about him. Last 9 games, basically since the Lakers loss, right? So we're talking about the Memphis game all the way to yesterday. So that's 9 games. Melo, 38% from the field, 34% from the floor. Not good. Not good overall, right? But the beauty of LaMelo is that he's still going to get his points. If the efficiency isn't there, which I'd like it to be, the rebounds will be there, the assists will be there, the steals will be there. LaMelo's amazing. You know, if the shot's not falling, he's gonna still positively contribute to things, right? And then what's really impressive, amongst a lot of things, is the free throw percentage from this kid. It's been kind of sneaky, at least for me. I've been paying a lot of attention to it, but his free throw percentage last year was 76%. This year, 90% or 89%, if you want to round up or round down. That's amazing. What I need from him, though, last season, he was taking 3.2 free throw attempts per game. This year, it's under that. It's less than. It's 2.7. I need him taking, I want more aggression out on LaMelo. And the refs this year have been really weird. We all know this. We've seen it with the rule changes and that. So I think free throw attempts, it's a weird stat to look at from this year to last year. But I think it's an indicator that I think Melo needs to be more aggressive. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and we kind of see it. You see flashes of it. LaMelo, a fully realized LaMelo ball, will be a mismatch problem for every team in the league because he should be able to, with his height advantage, he should have a major height advantage over every guard he plays against and use that advantage, especially in the post, like not backing guys down, but using post moves against smaller defenders. Or if a bigger guy, if a wing or front court player comes out to defend him at the 3-point line, he's faster than him. So I look forward to year 4, year 5, year 6 of LaMelo, where he's just brutalizing any mismatch he has, which should be often when it's specific to when he's handling the ball around the perimeter. But yeah, boy, this like LaMelo's amazing. LaMelo's amazing. I want to talk about Kelly Oubre as well. Last 10 games, Oubre, 17 points per game. Sorry, I keep saying 10 games. It's nine. Nine games. Last nine games since the Lakers game. So Memphis to Minnesota, 16.9 points per game. 49% from the field, 43% from three. The average percentages here are very weird because Oubre is very weird when it comes to game-to-game stuff. Because like Memphis, you know, he'll make seven. He'll go 7 of 9 for three, 4 of 10 the next game, 2 of 5, 3 of 7, 3 of 7, and then 0 for 7, just out of nowhere. He can't hit a three out of nowhere. So the percentages get really kicked out of whack with him. But that's the beauty of a bench player, the sixth man, the seventh man on this team, because if he's hot, let him run, let him cook, let him get busy, give him the green light when he's good. If he's not, you can go to a different player. Cody Martin can play more. Jalen McDaniels can get some run. You know, like there's options on this team that didn't exist last year, and it's a good place to be. This type of thing will carry us through this very long NBA season. And Kelly Oubre is a vet that knows how to get his bucket as well. So, like, if the shots aren't falling, Kelly Oubre can still get involved. But it's very weird. And I'm glad he broke the streak he was on to begin the year, where it was bad shooting night, good shooting night. Bad shooting night, good shooting night. Genuinely, for the first 7 games of the season, it went like that. And then it went to the tank the next 2 games. And then was pretty much stayed at the bottom. And then when this current streak since Memphis, he's been on fire for the most part. Must be the new dye job, things you like to see. And, you know, Cody Martin, I just want to give him some flowers as well, because he's a dude who puts in the work. His stats do not reflect his value. If you don't watch this Hornets team, you don't understand how valuable Cody Martin is. He may pop up in the highlights every once in a while, but bruh, man, Cody is the epitome of what this front office is trying to pull off. Jalen McDaniels too, to a lesser degree, but not too far off. But Cody's out here giving everybody a tough time defensively, and he's hitting big shots. He's moving with confidence. I need Cody to be a part of this franchise for a very long time. A very, very long time. He's the man. He's the absolute man. He's the best. He's not the best, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean when I say he's the best, right? And just I'm going to check in with Hayward. Last 9 games for him, 15 points per game, 5 boards, 3.8 assists. He's shooting 42% from the field, 27% or 28% from three. That's not good. Those percentages should be better for him. But percentages are tough. Like last night, took 13 shots, made 7 of them. I love that. You know, the previous game didn't make a bucket from the field. That sucks. So Hayward, I think, has some things to figure out. What I need from him is just not to bottom out like that. You know, he's too good to not contribute offensively. Now, to be fair, in that Magic game, it was a solid win. You know, didn't really need Hayward to go off against the Magic, but I expect the core of this team, Terry, Gordon, LaMelo, and Miles, to not bottom out, right? Just don't hit the floor. You can be off, but don't bottom out. If you don't bottom out, I'll be happy. But Hayward, and then I mentioned Terry, and let me check. I don't think I mentioned Miles yet. So Miles, last 9 games, 17.4 points per game, 3 assists, round up, 8 rebounds. The 3-point percentage in the mud, 28%. Field goal percentage is up, 44%. And this is just a reminder for any and all Hornets fans that encounter anybody that says LaMelo needs a star next to him. If you hear that, they're snitching on themselves. They're just watching highlights. They don't watch these Hornets games because, A, they're disregarding Terry and Gordon, but they're definitely disregarding Miles Bridges. This squad with those 4 guys, right? Then you toss in Kelly Oubre, PJ Washington, this new and approved Cody Martin, Jalen McDaniels, Ish Smith, Mason Plumlee. Like, this squad isn't super deep. Don't get me wrong, but this squad is in a very, very good place, and they're playing like a team in a very impressive manner. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I'm buzzing, pardon the pun. You know, they got the Rockets next. It should be an easy win. Then the Bulls. That's the Bulls, Bucks, back-to-back. Sorry. The next run, Bulls, Bucks, Hawks, Sixers, and then Sixers again. That's going to be really tough. That's a really good test to see how things. That could be a reality check moment for the squad to see if they play up to the competition coming up here, because yeah, it's not gonna be easy. Those games are not gonna be easy. Those games come fast and furious in December. A lot of games in December, not a lot of downtime. Hopefully our guys are up to the challenge. I think they will be. One last thing. James Bouknight on the board hit 2 free throws with 42 seconds left in the fourth quarter against the Timberwolves. Kai Jones, off the assist from Bouknight, big dunk with 11 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Our rookies are on the board. Clap for him. The second for applause here. Monkey off their back. I've been saying on stream that I think these rookies will start, specific to Bouknight, I think Kai Jones will have a tougher time playing and getting involved in the rotation because I think he's more raw and less ready than Bouknight as a prospect. But I think their time will come in 2022 in January. We're seeing, I think we'll see them get involved in January. That's just my assumption and guess because they're kind of limited to garbage time at the moment. But I feel like when we get into 2022, those rookies will start getting more and more involved. And again, this team has a strong track record with developing talent, second round talent. They have a strong record with late lottery talent, PJ and Miles, right? Malik, Bouknight, late lottery. Kai Jones, just outside the lottery. Have faith, be patient. Their time will come. And what this Hornets team, it'll be like 2 trades. Like it'll be like a trade, you know, a midseason trade. These rookies getting involved. An added injection of youth and talent will be what this team needs to carry us to the finish line. I said at the beginning of the year, this team will be a 6th seed at best. Best case scenario, they're a 6th seed. And right now they're 5th seed. Who knows? I think this team is better than the Wizards. I think the Heat are very good. I think right now the top three in the East, Nets, Bulls, Heat, seems about right. But I think that the Bucks, I think, will be above us eventually. And I think we're pretty much on par. The Sixers are kind of a mess. I think no one is that much better than the Hornets outside the Nets, Bulls, Heat, and Bucks, which puts us at a fifth seed where we are right now. I think we can hold on tight. I'm holding on tight. I appreciate y'all, though. I genuinely hope that everyone had a good good Thanksgiving and a good holiday weekend. If you're traveling, safe travels. But yeah, listen, this Hornets team's on fire, and I'm here for it. Thank you so much for listening to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, presented by Bet Online. I've been Sam. You've been great. I'll talk to you soon. Peace. Perfect.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.